Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the Palin Thing Podcast Network. We're brought to you by YakGadget. For all your fine quality kayak fishing accessories, go to YakGadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting. Go to Pelican.com. And the 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the 153angler.com. So join with me as together we dive into the tips and techniques that will help make us better anglers out on the water. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin podcast. I am your host, Sean Lavery. Thanks again for joining me tonight. As always, I appreciate all of our listeners and all the comments you guys drop and everything. You know, it definitely makes me want to keep going and keep, doing my best for you guys. So just a shout out to all the listeners who reach back out and, give me, ideas for shows and just comments and stuff. So keep it coming and I will do my best to keep bringing you best content I can. In that vein, tonight I have an excellent guest, probably very well known to most of our listeners, but maybe might need a little bit of introduction, so I'll let him do that real quick. But everyone, welcome back to Paddle and Fin, Mr. Russ Snyders.
How you doing, Sean?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on, man. It should be a fun conversation.
I love picking the brains of you guys because, it's definitely, a learning experience for me. And it's amazing to some of the things that I never even think of that you guys, bring up. And it just, I'm like, why did I not think of that? But so how many times have you been on Paddle and Fin? I don't, it's got to be a.
It's at least a third, probably maybe fourth or maybe even fifth. I'd say four. It's probably at least fourth time, I'd say.
Well, love having you back, man. So I appreciate you coming on with me. But
yeah, happy to be here.
So for those of the folks who, for whatever reason, haven't heard you yet or don't know who you are, can you just do a quick intro, like who you are, where you're from?
Sure. Yeah. My name is Russ Snyders. I live here in Nashville, Tennessee. I've been here about 9 years now and I've been fishing kayak tournaments for, it's my fourth, going on my fifth year next year. And I came from the bass boat world originally and transitioned to kayak fishing. And don't think I'm going back. Found a good place and I've been really enjoying myself and enjoying the people I've been meeting along the way.
You definitely meet a lot of cool people. I had the opportunity to meet you when we went to Dale Hollow. Brief, but it was nice to, put a name to a face and meet you in person. So
yeah, that was a fun time. It's a good group of guys there. It's some live music and stuff. That was a fun one.
Yep. So how'd your season go this year? Are you done or you have many more?
I got
events?
One tournament left. The last one is going to be the Hobie TOC in Lake Eufaula. That's a couple weeks from now. And I think I'm heading down there next weekend. Gonna do a little camping for that one. We got a campsite for about a week and got a little group of guys. So should be fun. I'm excited. It's gonna be some cold weather and maybe some tough fishing. Possibly a good time to throw a jerk bait.
I know. I was watching. What kind of made me reach out to you as I'd watched a video that you had done on jerk bait fishing, and you said in that video that it wasn't. For you, it's not just a cold water bait, but it definitely seems to do well in cold water.
That's definitely when it shines, but you could throw it year round for sure.
I figured that would be a great topic for, as everybody's water starts cooling down, some more than others. Just figured I'd ask you real quick how your season went so far. Like I have you on my fantasy fishing team, so I know that you've done well for me. But
it's been good. It's kind of had its ups and downs. I hit a little bit of a lull there for a minute, but overall had a really strong start. Won a trail series event at the Kissimmee Chain there, and Hobie event at Broken Bow, and a Bassmaster at Eufaula. Then after that, it kind of slowed down. I think I had maybe, you know, 9 or 10 tournaments where I think I only cashed maybe one check. And but then it, you know, picked back up these last few tournaments, a few good ones. Just got done with the KBF National Championship over at in Shreveport, Fish and Caddo, and some of the other lakes around there, Red River area. Had a sixth place finish at the National Championship, so that was yeah, that was a good one. Fun lake and some great fishing out there. But I, you know, did a lot of traveling this year, a lot of tournaments, some new places. You know, went up to Ohio and fished East West Harbor up at Lake Erie, and Susquehanna, Pennsylvania, were a couple of the new spots I was really excited about.
You weren't far from me then at that one, because I you're about 15 minutes from there. Yeah,
yep. Do you? You're like, that's good fishing up there. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, a lot of the play, you know, we hit a lot of the, all three organizations did a really good job, you know, figuring out, you know, scheduling around each other one, and also just finding the right times to hit all these lakes. It seems like every time we went to a lake, it was just the right, you know, the right time to be there. And there was some big limits caught this year. Oh, so it was a fun season.
Yeah, I couldn't believe some of those limits, especially at the KBF National Championship.
Yeah, yeah. I really don't think there was a better place. If there's a better place in the country right now, I'd like to know. But I really think that was probably the hottest spot to be in the whole country. So we timed that one just right. It was a blast. I wish I could go back.
Well, awesome, dude. So yeah, let's dive into jerkbaits. You know, I figured start off by the different models that you like to throw, because I know you said you have a few. I have a few laying here too.
I do, yeah. I've, you know, quite a few jerkbaits that I like to throw. A lot of them are just kind of the staples. I don't get too crazy with under so many different brands and so many companies that make jerkbaits nowadays, but I usually stick to kind of the tried and true, you know, the Lucky Craft, either Pointers or Stacy's, and then the Mega Bass, you know, Vision 110, and the, you know, the 110 plus one. And then, you know, there's some other ones like Shad Wraps. I don't know. That's kind of like that cross between a jerk. There's some jerk baits that are almost like a cross between a jerk bait and a crank bait, which I would kind of consider a shad wrap, or like a bevy shad. So, and then there's also, you know, also another one I throw is like the Mega Bass Edo Shiner, which is similar to the 110, just a little larger profile, a little less erratic, more of a, you know, rolling type action. So those, you know, those are some of the crankbaits, or sorry, jerk baits that I throw, and each one kind of has their time or place depending on you know, time of year with the water temperature or the forage even, or, you know, there's a lot that goes into which one I choose. Water color, the, you know, whether it's overcast or clear skies, and all of it's pretty self-explanatory, but you know, I throw more of the transparent colors, like the ghost minnows, or, you know, more transparent colors on the clear water, sunny days, and then more of the solid, you know, white colors, like a table rock shad, or I don't know what this one is. This is a good one here. I'm kind of more of the overcast. It's kind of transparent too. You know, there's some that are kind of in between. You know, so there's it's all different ones. You know, summertime, I throw a lot of this is one I throw a lot in the summertime, which is a bluegill colored Pointer 100, or the 78 is probably one of my go-tos in the summertime. But it's hard to beat, you know, it's really hard to beat. I'd say if I had to pick one jerkbait to throw, it'd be the Mega Bass Vision 110. It's probably my go-to most times. And a lot of my jerkbaits, actually recently, last couple years, I've been buying a lot of these, you know, knockoff Vision 110s, because those things, they're expensive. They're $25 a piece, and you know, they break pretty easy too, is the thing. They're a little fragile. They have a pretty small bill on them, and especially if you're casting around bridge pilings or docks, they really have a tendency, just because of their shape and size, to kind of catch the wind and you know, kick off to the side on a cast. So So I really started getting more into buying some of these knockoffs. You know, you can get them on eBay, or I think predatorbaits.com is a good one here. And, you know, this one's like a table rock shad, and I got some golden shiner ones for when I was down in Florida. It's, you know, something not a lot of guys when they go to Florida think of jerk baits, but right. Early in the year, you know, they work pretty well. Hold on one second. I'll turn on this light really quick. Yep. Just to get a little bit more. See the baits a little better.
Yep. So I was thinking, like, you have a couple different sizes there. What generally, when do you throw the larger ones versus the smaller ones?
A lot of it's just the you know, profile of the bait. If they're feeding on smaller shad or bigger shad, or, you know, sometimes, like I said, I throw jerk baits when they're feeding on bluegill too. I think that's one thing that's overlooked is a bluegill jerk bait. A lot of guys throw, you know, the shad or the, you know, in this case, I have a golden shiner one. So, I mean, jerk baits can imitate a lot of different forage. And, but yeah, usually it's just on the size, you know, the size.
So size try to the match bait. The hatch kind of thing.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And sometimes I'll throw that Edo shiner, which is the larger mega bass when they're feeding more on the gizzard shad instead of the threadfin shad. But yeah, the one thing that's interesting with these knockoff jerk baits is they can be a little inconsistent as far as just getting them to suspend correctly. So what I really started doing is I'd put the hooks on them, you know, before I go in, I airbrush a lot of these. So what I'll do is I'll put the hooks on and weight everything, as it is. And then I'll put it in a bucket of water and actually put suspend strips right on the bottom of them. And I'll put the suspend strips on so that it either barely floats up or it just suspends perfectly. And what I really want to accomplish is, to have that jerk bait actually sink really slow. But I'll put the suspend strips on, and then after I put the paint and the clear coat, it actually gives it a little more weight. Most times, unless I'm fishing in a situation where there's like submerged grass, and then in that case it's kind of nice to have it float up just a little bit, just so when you hit that grass, you know, it won't really catch, you can get it to float up a little bit. But 9 times out of 10, unless I'm in that situation, I want a jerk bait that's going to sink really slow. You don't want it to sink too fast, or it's not going to look natural. But just a couple, you know, an inch a second, something like that. And the reason for that is, you know, I can get that bait a lot deeper. You know, the normally like a mega bass Vision 110 will get down maybe 4 or 5 feet, but if you weight it properly, you know, you can count down 10 seconds and get it down to that 6-7 foot range, especially on a long cast. And you can also do that by changing out the hooks and getting a little bit more weight on the hooks as well. But once you start doing that and putting too big of hooks on it too, you end up getting, you know, the line wrapped around it kind of weird, or the hooks will get tangled. So I really prefer to have, you know, smaller size hooks on it, the right size hooks, and adjust the weight with the suspend strips. Another thing that's important with the suspend strips is just getting the right angle. You don't want it nose down too far, and you don't want it sitting completely horizontal. You want just a little bit of tilt to that nose, maybe 10 degrees or something like that, 10, 15 degrees with that nose pointed down.
And you do most of that just by testing in a bucket of water. You'll add the stuff and then see what its motion is, and then
and you can add it, you know, you could put the suspend strips just on any jerk bait that you buy too, but these ones that I've been you know, buying off of Predator Baits or going on to eBay or whatnot, a lot of times they have different balls, and they're not always weighted correctly, so I'll adjust those suspend strips. Sometimes I'll put them a little more forward, sometimes I'll put them a little more back, and after I put those suspend strips on, then I actually paint over it and then epoxy over everything too. So they're on there permanently, where okay. If you put them on a bait that you buy, you know, that you're going to have to, they'll end up coming off from time to time. So you got to just reapply those suspend strips.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Cool. And one thing you mentioned that I always thought that the depth of your jerkbait came from your retrieve, like you
retrieve crank. Line size. A lot of that has a lot to do with it too. A lot of times on my retrieve, you know, I make most cases, unless I'm trying to hit targets like around docks or something like that. But let's say I'm fishing like bluff walls is a pretty popular spot to throw a jerkbait, or even like a long tapered point or something like that. Most times I'm trying to make really long casts with a jerkbait, and I'll just crank it down for about, you know, 5 seconds first, just to get it to the depth that I want. And then I'll start working my retrieve, and I mix it up throughout the day. I mean, typically, you know, the colder the water, the slower retrieve, the warmer the water, the faster retrieve. But sometimes that's not always the case. And I'll, sometimes, you know, I'll mix it up throughout the day and really let the fish tell me what, you know, which way they want it. The most popular kind of go-to retrieve that I start out with is like a 2-1 retrieve. So it's like jerk, jerk, pause, jerk, pause, jerk, jerk, pause, jerk, pause. That's kind of my go-to. Most times I'll start out with that. I mean, other retrieves, I've seen at times in cold water where they don't want it, you know, jerked at all, where it's just more of like a long pull and then just kind of reel up the slack. Another just long kind of slow pull.
Interesting.
I've had other times where it's just like jerk, 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 just as fast as you could just keep jerk, just make it as erratic as possible and keep it moving. Especially summertime, I had a lot of luck with that retrieve. Like a little pointer 78. Like that little bluegill one, throwing it in the summertime, this little guy right here. Where I just keep it moving. If they pause it at all, especially if the water's clear, sometimes they just get too good a look at it. And that clear water in the summertime, I just keep it moving as fast as I can. But
okay.
But yeah, you just got to let the fish tell you what they want. And it's hard to even say there's a wrong way at one point or another. Like any type of retrieve can catch them, but if you had one go-to, if you're just going to go out there and have one retrieve to kind of try the most, you know, I'd do that jerk, pause, jerk, jerk, pause. And if it's not working, then I'll start pulling more or doing a few, you know, start mixing it up a little bit and testing different things if that one doesn't work. But
how long do you tend to stick with one retrieve before you switch it up?
Again, it just kind of depends on, you know, if I'm in an area, if I'm seeing fish on the graph and I know I'm around them, I know I'm putting it in front of their face, but they're not reacting to it, then it maybe won't wait long at all. But if I'm, you know, covering a lot of water and it's just kind of dead and it's just a matter of I don't think I've got it in front of a school of fish yet, then I'll probably stick with that standard retrieve a little bit longer until I really feel like I put it in front of, you know, some fish's face and they just haven't reacted to it.
Is that generally then also like what you're aiming for is to drop it right in them, or are you trying to pull them up from below, or it really depends where they're positioned, I guess?
It depends on where they're positioned. A lot of times on the bluff walls, you know, they'll be sitting below it and looking up. In that case, sometimes maybe you got to give a little longer pause. And that's another thing to talk about is just the time of the pause. And like I say, in wintertime, there's times where you have to count down like 10 seconds even. I mean, that's kind of extreme, but definitely 5. There's plenty of times in the wintertime where, you know, I'll wait 5 seconds before, you know, jerking again, just letting it sit there. So, yeah, in 10 seconds, like I said, I've had times where it takes that long, but it's painfully slow and it's hard to cover. You know, there's an area with fish, then I'll have the patience to slow down like that. But if you're just trying to cover water, it's pretty difficult to wait that long.
Yeah, and I know sometimes you're moving pretty fast when you're covering water. Is a jerkbait still something you do while you do that? Or
Yeah, definitely. It's not, Yeah, I say it can be. It's not, you're not going to cover as much water. It's one way, it's probably one of the best ways to power fish in cold water, really. And it's, you're not going to, even though it's still, I guess, power fishing, it's not as fast moving as, you know, throwing a spinnerbait or a crankbait or buzzbait or something like that. You're not going to be able to cover that much water, but it's still, you know, a power fishing application that you can throw in the winter. And a lot of times that's one of the only ones, you know, that you can power fishing technique that you can do in the winter. Otherwise, you know, you're throwing worms or jigs or, you know, drop shots, stuff like that. So,
Stuff that you're definitely gonna have to slow down a little to you, yeah.
yeah.
Cool. Okay. How about lines and rods and stuff?
Yeah. Let's see. I got a couple rods here. So, there's a couple different eye rods that I like using. There's two main ones that I throw is either the it's a 610, it's a 6102C jerk bait rods, eye rod Genesis 2 jerk bait rod. It's 610. It's a two power. It's a really light rod. I especially like this one for like the Pointer 78s and the Stacies. I'll use it for that and some of the shad wraps and some of the lighter jerk baits. It's yeah, really soft rod. It's got a short handle on it, 6'10". And I typically pair this with, you know, I go kind of go back and forth. Sometimes I'll just use fluorocarbon, like straight fluorocarbon, like 10 pound. Sometimes even 8 maybe. But most times I'd say 10 with this rod. But I also throw it with like 20 pound braid with a 10 pound test leader. I kind of go back and forth. Some of it depends on the bait and how far I'm casting. If I'm doing really long casts, that braid is really nice on a really long cast with the leader, just because if you do get a bite, well, there are a couple of reasons, I guess. If you get a bite, you know, you get an easier hook set just for the fact that you don't have stretch in the line. But also with the braid on a long cast, you're going to get a lot more snap to that jerk bait, a lot more erratic action, because that line isn't absorbing it. It's gonna shoot back and forth a lot easier, a lot sharper. I guess you could say a lot sharper twitches or you know, darts
Darting
in the
action,
water.
right.
Yeah, where the fluorocarbon, because of the stretch, especially on a long cast, it's going to kind of absorb that more, and it's going to be not quite as erratic. And then the other rod that I throw is a, it's actually a crankbait rod. It's the Gabe's Rip Wrap Special. It's a 703. It's a composite rod, really made for throwing crankbaits. But I like this rod a lot for jerk baits. I actually like it better than the, as far as throwing the, like the Pointer 100s or the Megabass Vision 110s. I really throw this one a lot. It's just handles the cast a little better than the other jerk bait rod that iRod makes. It's just a little bit light. It kind of loads up a little too much for casting some of the heavier jerk baits. But this one here, this Gabe's Rip Wrap Special, does a really good job of that. With this one, I'm throwing more, sometimes 10 to 12. Or at times I'll also do the 20 pound braid with like a 12 pound test leader as well.
And that's more
And
of a like a moderate action rod, like a
that's more of a moderate action. Yeah, it's a composite rod. A little bit different action. The other one is just a kind of thinner walled graphite rod, and a lot of it. And it, you know, the other one does well on the jerk bait rod. Will have the action okay for throwing the bigger jerk baits, but it's more on the cast. That one, it just kind of loads up a little too much, and this composite rod really gets an accurate cast. Just loads up properly to
Gotcha.
get a nice straight cast on some of the bigger jerk baits. And also throw a 733. I think it's the iRod Genesis 2 Lone Star Special for when I'm throwing like the Edo Shiners, or there's some other, you know, large jerk baits like a Pointer 128, or, you know, there's some other big ones that I used to throw out in California a lot, but don't throw them out too much here, like a Daiwa SP Minnow and some of the more stripers. You know, I used to do a lot of striper fishing too, so I throw
Okay.
some of the big, those big jerk baits and big Rapalas and stuff like that as well. So
And how long is your leader generally when you do braid to leader? Do you?
when I do braid to leader, I never like casting my knot out of the spool of the reel, because that line guide, if you're not as in the spool, sometimes on a cast it'll catch that line guide in the reel as it's coming out. So I always make it so that my knot is right outside of the line guide, and then I have about 6 inches of line coming out of the tip. So I guess that would make it, if it's a 7 foot rod, if you're the butt length's about a foot, so it'd be about a 6 foot leader. I'd say maybe just under 6 feet, just depending on the length of the rod.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Yep. What else was I wanted to talk about? So we covered line, we covered rods. I wanted to talk to you about retrieves, especially, you know, if you watch videos online, almost all of the people are standing on a boat deck with a rod pointed down, pulling at the rod. And in a kayak, unless you're standing, that's pretty impossible.
It is. Yeah. It's been an adjustment for sure. It is a little easier having that rod pointed downward, especially fishing out of a boat or something like that. But I've learned to adapt to that. And I just kind of do it out. How do I explain it? So it'd be almost like at a 45 degree angle. My rod tips are always just like an inch or two, or, you know, a few inches above the water. And I just kind of start out with my rod tip not straight in front of me, maybe just tilted to the side, you know, to the side, instead of being pointed straight there, it would be pointed, you know, maybe 15 degrees to the side. And then when I jerk it, it gets to about maybe 45 degrees, where, you know, 90 degrees would be straight out my side. So I stay in that, like, I'd say 10 to 45 degree angle with my rod tip, just a few inches above the water. Another really important thing that I've noticed with jerk baits is to have your line. You don't want any kind of bow in your line at all. You want, when you make that cast, you want that line pointed, you know, straight at you. So you almost want to stay still when you make your cast. You don't want to, like, be running your motor or you know, pedaling or paddling. You don't want to cast out and then start pedaling and paddling and moving, where it's going to create a bend in your line. You really want to line it up, get that cast, and keep your line as straight as possible. That really, really makes a big difference, I believe. Okay. Gets just better action on the jerk bait. It helps it suspend better. It doesn't, you know, it's not going to, and when, you know, after you jerk it, you really want to snap it too. That's another thing to talk about, is you really want to snap that rod. Most times, unless you're, you know, there are retrieves where you're just kind of pulling it and reeling up the slack, but most times you're really snapping the slack in the line. You're not pulling and stopping. You're snapping it back. And as soon as that rod tip kind of snaps back, you're pushing your rod back towards your bait. And that's what's going to give it that more erratic action. You're really just snapping the slack in the line. And a lot of people, that's probably the most common mistake I see when people are fishing jerk baits, is they're pulling it too much instead of snapping that slack. Each time you kind of snap the rod back, you want immediate slack in the line right after. You don't want to do pulls. Like, there are times where, like I said, where pulls like that will work, but 90% of the time, you really want to make sure you're snapping the slack in the line. And it takes a while to get the feel for that. You kind of gotta, yeah, just, it's almost, you know, it's the same type of thing with, like, walking a spook. It's just getting in the rhythm of reeling at the right speed and working that rod at the right speed. And it's kind of one of those things, like, you know, rubbing your stomach and patting your head at the same time, where it just takes a little while to get the feel for it.
Well, I was curious how much I should be winding my reel while I'm doing it. You're just trying to keep that, like, just enough slack so that when you're popping, it's, you know, you're not pulling it, but
yeah, you're not reeling too much. You don't want to snap it and then keep reeling your line tight. You got to reel just the right speed, so you're picking up some of the slack, but not all the slack in your line.
And you want to make sure when you pop that your rod goes back to where you started from.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what really allows it to really get those big kind of cuts.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Gotcha. Then the wind plays a big part too. It's hard to throw a jerk bait when you have a crosswind. It's easy when it's either at your back or coming straight at you. If the wind's coming from the side, a lot of times you'll get problems, especially if you're throwing braid, where when you're trying to snap it like that, that braid will wrap around your rod tip. Your line will wrap around your rod tip. And you also get that bow in your line so that after each time you snap it, the wind's kind of blowing your line and you're not getting that hard snapping action. And it's the bait's not going to sit there and suspend either, because that wind is going to slowly kind of, it's going to pull on that line, which is going to pull on that bait a little bit too. So it's going to move really slow in the water.
Okay. So on those kind of days, I know a lot of times you're casting to our target, but in that kind of situation, you might actually have to line up with the wind and kind of see what you can hit that way, right?
Yeah, the wind's too strong. Like, you really want to make an effort. Sometimes on a cast, or you're going down a bank, you kind of have no choice, but you will notice that you'll get a lot more bites when that wind's either coming straight at you or at your back, and you're going to have less problems, like I said, with that braided line or line wrapping around your tip as well.
Gotcha. And is that a tactic you do a lot, like covering a bank? Like, I usually don't think, when I think of bank fishing, I think of shallow water. And, you know, if you're just coming down the bank, is that a situation where you would use a jerkbait? If, you know, how deep or how shallow do you use a jerkbait?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How shallow? Well, I'd say at least 4 feet. There's not many jerk baits. I got a couple of these little Yozuri. I haven't used them in a while. I don't even know what it is, but these things only run
I was gonna say two.
Do you really? A little Yozuri. Yeah. No kidding. I haven't seen these things around for a while. These things are, I don't know, it's some sort of Yozuri. I don't know what the model is, but this one runs really shallow, only like a foot or two, and it's really erratic. And it's been a while since I've tied this on, but I've had a lot of luck with them before. And there's some other ones. I guess another good one I used for, I went down to Pensacola and did some redfish and speckled trout. This is a really good one too. I'm sure it would work for bass. I haven't really tried it that much, but it's a Shadow Wrap Shad, the Shadow Wrap Shad 09. What's the 09 mean? It's a slow rising. It rises really slow, and it's got a little small bill on it. And this is another one that works good in that, like, you know, 1 to 2 foot range in extremely shallow water, but not one I've typically use for bass too much. Probably should. I'm sure they would, you know, certain situations. I wouldn't be surprised that these did work well, because they have great action on them. I guess the only other jerk bait, or I don't know if you consider it a jerk bait, but the shad wraps here, I'll use that. This little size 5, I think this is a size 5, the shallow diver. They make a deep diver and a shallow diver. This is a really popular one on Percy Priest. You almost have to cast this one with the spinning rod. And there's times with the, you know, those pointer 78s where I'll throw it on a spinning rod as well. But yeah, this one here is just a little balsa bait, and you're not really jerking it too much. You're almost just reeling it, but it's, you know, it has the profile of a jerk bait, whether you want to call it that or not. But in the springtime on Percy Priest, it's a really popular bait, thrown in like, you know, less than a foot of water. I mean, you'll be sitting in a foot and a half or so, casting up in inches of water. And they'll be sitting right up there, really, really shallow. So that's another one. But usually when I'm throwing the mega bass or the pointers, which are predominantly, you know, those are the ones I use the most in the shallow water situations for bass, I'm going to be throwing it at least 4 feet, just because you'll break. If you're throwing it shallower than that, you'll end up getting hung up quite a bit. And two, you'll end up breaking some bills on some expensive baits. So that's never fun.
No. I remember talking with Juan Verud about fishing the 110s in the Susquehanna, and he said that, you know, there's times where it just doesn't work because it's so shallow and rocky, and you're gonna break bills left and right. So awesome. it's not a crankbait. You're not wanting to deflect off of cover.
And sometimes you do get them. There's times where I've hit rock piles and stuff, and it has triggered strikes, but more times than not, you're gonna end up breaking your bills, which is no fun. I'll give you guys a good tip. This is a good tip right here. When you buy your Mega Bass lures, keep the package. I prefer to buy them from Bass Pro Shops because I will keep the package, and when I break the bills, I just put it back in the package and I return them and I get a new one.
Oh, that's definitely a good tip.
That's a good one. Trust me. I've done it at least like 15, 20 times. So what's that? That's a few $100 right there.
Heck yeah.
So
yeah, I've broken a few on the river. I've lost a few. I think Susie Roloff, who's another Paddle and Fin host, talked about trolling 110 at times and has caught them like that. And I actually did that. And I actually, for some reason, caught walleye that day
when
I
really?
Was trolling a Vision 110. Yeah,
I believe that. Yeah,
it was interesting. So
cool.
But awesome, dude. I'm trying to think of anything else that you think you any other tips or tricks that you can think of?
I guess I'll give you a few examples of where, you know, what type of areas I throw jerkbaits. I mean, I guess you could throw it just about anywhere. But the three, I guess, most common places I'll say I throw a jerkbait is either steep bluff walls, and you get right alongside of it. I like throwing like a Stacy. That's a good time to throw a Lucky Craft Stacy 90 or a Vision 110 plus one. That's a really good spot to throw jerk baits. Another good spot is like really long tapering points, especially in the pre-spawn, like staging areas and stuff like that. You know, long points outside of spawning bays, you know, secondary points and stuff like that.
Now on those, would you sit at the bottom of the point and like cast both. It up shallow and both. Work it
sometimes,
down?
Yeah, sometimes
across the point.
You can do either. A lot of times it depends on the wind, which way the wind, that would probably determine it more than anything, is which way the wind's coming from. Sometimes gotcha. I'll sit, the wind's coming straight across the point, you know, typically like throwing into the wind the most. And it's hard sometimes, you know, the jerkbait does have a tendency to shoot one way or another when you're throwing into the wind. And it's one of the more difficult lures, I'd say, to throw into the wind. You got to adjust your brakes and get it kind of dialed in. Sometimes I'll throw across the point, and sometimes I'll sit right up on the bank on the point and, you know, cast out towards deep water and bring it back towards the bank. If it's an area that's getting a lot of fishing pressure, a lot of bass boat pressure, especially where bass boats can't have a little harder time fishing that way, where a kayak, you can literally just put it right up on the bank, you know, that can be a really good retrieve. And, another good one is alongside docks and bridge pilings. You can have issues with hitting those docks or bridge pilings on a cast, and it's a good way to break a few jerk baits, but it's a really effective way of catching fish as well that are, cause a lot of times those docks and stuff will say, it's a dock with 10 feet of water underneath it, and those fish are just sitting a couple feet, 2-3 feet under the dock. They're suspended under the dock. So you get something like a jerk bait that's going to get right down to that depth where they're at, and it's just going to suspend there. It's going to give, it's an easy way to get those fish to dart out from underneath those docks and grab it.
Okay. Now I know, you talked about the crank for a few seconds just to get it down there, but you also talked about, you know, letting it kind of settle and, you know, counting it down. So
yeah.
At what point do you start counting? Like,
that just depends on the depth. If I'm seeing fish on my graph that are, if I'm throwing a Vision 110 that typically gets down that 4 or 5 foot range, and I'm seeing a lot of fish in like 7, 8, 9, 10 feet, you know, rather than going to a plus one, a lot of times, you know, they won't want the action of that plus one. They prefer the action of the regular one with the smaller bill, a little more erratic action, and just counting it down to that depth.
So you'll give it a couple cranks to get it to the normal depth. And
yeah,
then
I'll give it like crank it down for like maybe 4 or 5 seconds, something like that. And then maybe I'll jerk it a couple times, or you can just do that. You can just crank it down. And once you get it to that depth, then I'll just wait for like 10 seconds or something like that, you know, and get it down a few extra feet that way.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense. I remember we had David Sensate, I think is how you say his name. He's a spy baiter. And he was talking about a very similar kind mm-hmm. of thing for getting a spy bait down to where you wanted to.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. But my biggest thing is just, you know, a lot of times the jerk baits, depending on the water density and the temperature, you know, I'll be throwing a jerk bait in warm water. I don't know which way it goes, but I'll be fishing, let's say, in warm water, and it will, I think it floats more. So it'll be, let's put it this way. I'll be fishing it in cold water, and it will, you know, just barely be sinking it just like I like it. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'll come back in the summertime and throw that same jerk bait that I think I have dialed in, and it's, you know, it'll float up really, really slow. So you might have to put a little bit more weight on it. And that's really dialing in that sink rate. It's really important, I really believe, to just have it sink really, really slow. Unless you're in those situations where, like I said, where you're fishing around grass or something like that, you don't want to have it sink down that far. But you don't want it to sink too fast either. When I mean slow, I mean like less than an inch, maybe like an inch a second, or yeah, maybe an inch or two a second, I guess.
Okay. How about for, like, I remember reading one time too, that you don't want it to move forward. Like when you do that pop and pause, you want on the pause for it to be pretty much stationary. Kind
of jump back. And that just comes down to leaving slack after the jerk, you know, not jerking it and then reeling up too much of the slack where it's going to pull it forward, or having, you know, like a crosswind, like I said, where you're going to jerk it and that crosswind's going to blow that bow in your line, and it's going to keep it kind of barely moving forward. You really want to make sure to have that slack and have that line going out straight. Try to avoid having a crosswind, and just getting kind of that rhythm down of the retrieve.
Okay. And I know, obviously, we talked about the pause and the retrieve. Generally, the colder the water, the longer the pause.
Totally. Yeah.
Do you change up locations where you're throwing it in the winter versus like the summer or spring? Like,
say it again.
Do you change up like where you're throwing it in the different seasons, or is it, you'll try all those places in all the different seasons, points and docks? And
I'd say wintertime, the bluff walls probably shine better. I'd say, all right, wintertime, probably bluff walls. I mean, different, you know, they could, fish can be anywhere, but if I was, yeah, to try to pick the most likely scenarios, wintertime, bluff walls, early spring, kind of the secondary points, you know, outside the spawning coves, and then the summertime fishing around docks. But you can fish summertime around bluff walls, you can fish wintertime around docks, but in most cases, that's what's most typical, I'd say.
Okay, cool. All right. Anything else? I the spinning rods you throw on are similar to the casting rods, I'm guessing, like in that mid, like 6 or 6 foot, close to 7 foot range.
Yeah, six and a half to 7 foot. I don't have like a specific one that I use. I just kind of use the ones that I use for my finesse applications. I don't have a specific jerkbait rod for my spinning rods, but you don't want something too heavy. It's typically a, you know, it's kind of in between, not like a really light jerkbait rod, but not like a heavier shaky head or tube rod. It's kind of in between, something that I'd throw a Nico rig or a lighter shaky head, or, you know, if you get in that, I guess the perfect one would be like a 6'10" medium, essentially, would be right about where you what you want out of that.
Okay. And that's generally for throwing those real small, or kind of on the smaller side,
pointer 78s, or those really small ones, that shadow wrap shad, or the especially the little shad wraps, stuff like that.
I had to say, I have to give props to my friend Jake Stoffman. I was really struggling to catch fish early this year on the river and in the cold water, like March, when it was still pretty chilly on the Susquehanna. And he's like, well, why don't you throw a jerkbait? And I was like, well, you know, I've never had much luck with the 110 in this kind of water. He's like, oh, no, you got to go much smaller. Like, and he gave me a pointer, and I started throwing that, and it was like magic. I was like, oh, dude, you're a genius. Cause they really, I was surprised. And the places I caught them, I was surprised they were there. And I thought that I had to be, you know, that they were, they always say that the river, the bass go to the deepest parts of the river, but I wasn't in the deepest parts of the river and they were still up there. And it surprised me. Cause I, you know, usually that time of the year on the river, I'm doing hair jigs and tubes and stuff that's slow and on the bottom. And I thought that the jerkbaits would be too fast and, you know, wouldn't be able to get down to those deep parts. And then so on my way down to the deepest part of the river, I stopped in the shallow parts and not super shallow, but somewhat shallow, and threw the jerkbait on my way. And I started catching fish there. I was like, oh man. So
nice. Were they in the current more or in the slack water areas more?
Slack water in the slower water. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been rare. I've caught some fish on a jerkbait in the current, but when I'm doing the river fishing, I have had good luck on jerkbaits in the rivers, but most times, 90% of the time, it's more in those slack water areas or eddies or areas outside of the current.
Yes. Yeah, no. I think I would have trouble controlling it in the current anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Having slack and, you know, being able to manage that while also, you know, keeping that retrieve the right way. So,
yeah.
Cool. All right, man. Well, I think we've covered a ton of stuff. I think hopefully that definitely gives our listeners who maybe haven't tried a jerkbait or weren't sure they were doing it right, you know, a definite place to start, and hopefully, you know, find some success. Definitely if you are at all intimidated by cold water fishing and you've struggled like I struggled for a while, definitely give it a try, because I think it can be a really productive bait when the water starts getting cold and it seems like nothing else is working. So
definitely, I agree, man. I agree.
Cool. All right, dude. Well, thank you so much. I wanted to give you an opportunity to shout out any sponsors or social media that you wanted to.
Yeah, my social media is just Russ Snyders, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Russ with one S, Snyders with an S at the end. And I'd like to, yeah, thank my sponsors, iRod Fishing, Dakota Lithium, Torquedo, and Catch.
Awesome, awesome. I've seen a couple of videos you did with Jeff Little.
He did a great job editing that. He's a really great guy, and it was fun working with him on those video projects.
He's making me want to buy a Torquedo for sure.
It's worthwhile, man. 11-3 has been awesome. I've been loving it.
That's cool. Awesome, dude. Well, thank you so much again for coming on. I appreciate, you know, taking the time to, you know, share the knowledge with us. It was definitely a lot of good stuff. So
yeah, no problem, Sean. I really appreciate having me on, and really enjoyed the conversation.
And good luck in the Hobie TOC. So
thank you.
You'll help me finish out my fantasy year strong.
I'll do my best. I'm gonna
That's awesome. Fishing
for a while, so we'll see how it goes. I'm excited about it. I got a big win there earlier this year, so I'm excited to get back.
Awesome. Well, I wish you the best in that, and you know, hopefully we'll hear from you on the reel down when you after that, you know, that would be cool.
All right Sean, take it easy.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man. Have a good night.
You too. See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.